When I say the word politics, what immediately comes to mind for you?
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is, like, saying things without actually saying things.
Rich white people.
I really don't want to have a conversation about it. Politics is politics.
Honestly, just lots of people arguing about some very interesting topics.
The first thing that comes to my mind is Judith Collins.
And how would you describe politics to a mate?
Conflicts.
Farming.
Colours as well.
Indecisiveness.
It's like a game. People never want to say what, you know, their real intentions are, I guess. It's something that I want to get more into, but it's just like I don't really know where to start.
Start here with the Not at the Dinner Table podcast.
To discuss all things political that you're not allowed to at dinner.
Especially if your granddad's coming over. It's not a big surprise, Jim, but once again, it's Friday and I am... Now you're yawning. And I was just about to say that I am very, very tired.
It's a contagious thing, isn't it? Oh my gosh. But I guess it's almost coffee time, isn't it?
It is almost coffee time. What has turned into a very expensive coffee habit.
Yeah, a bit harmful to your wallet.
A bit harmful to our wallet and to the old study link payments. We're not talking about stuff that's harmful to our wallets today. We're talking about the Harmful Digital Communication Act.
So why was the Harmful Digital Communications Act one of our topics?
Lots of people are online, lots of people have phones, you know, just more and more stuff is moving onto the internet. That's where everyone's work and downtime and everything's done. So, you know, to be clear, there is already a Harmful Digital Communication Act. What we're mainly looking at today is the proposed amendment to that act. An amendment is when you've already got a law, but you want to change some stuff. And that's got to go through the same process as any other law.
So that first reading, that select committee, the second reading, the third reading, committee of the whole house, signed off by the Governor General kind of thing.
We have a new Governor General, just as a side note.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Dame Cindy Kiro.
So let's get back to the principles of the Harmful Digital Communications Act. So basically there are 10 principles in which communication can be considered harmful. Disclosing sensitive personal facts about an individual, threatening, intimidating or menacing, being grossly offensive to a reasonable person in the position of the affected individual, be indecent or obscene, be used to harass an individual, make a false allegation, contain a matter that is published in breach of confidence, incite or encourage anyone to send a message to an individual for the purpose of causing harm to the individual, encourage an individual to commit suicide, denigrate an individual by reason of colour, race, ethnic or national origins, religion, gender, sexual orientation or disability. Quite a few there.
There is quite a few. And you'd think that that covers people sending harmful digital communications online. Obviously not quite as well as people had hoped, because there is this amendment.
Yeah, and that amendment, because in its current state, you have to prove that it was harmful with these 10 principles.
Yes.
So that current amendment wants to change that.
So who's currently in charge of spearheading that amendment?
It's actually a members bill by Louisa Wall, a Labour MP.
We're also speaking to Martin Cocker of NetSafe and Sherida Fraser from the Aotearoa Sex Workers Collective.
Because it is Lewis's bill, we got her to explain what it's all about.
Yeah, well, so what this bill will do is take away the very high thresholds to be prosecuted under the existing legislation. So you won't have to prove that the person intended to cause harm. You won't have to prove that they intended to cause it to an ordinary person. And you also won't have to prove that actual harm happened. All that will have to happen is somebody shares images of another person without their consent, and that is in and of itself harmful, and therefore they will be able to be prosecuted. And we're really giving the tools to the police, because the police have not been able to prosecute people, even though they've wanted to, because of the restriction in the law.
So basically what this bill is doing is acknowledging that any kind of unconsented posting of intimate visual recordings and images and stuff like that will cause harm, so that the victim who's gone through this doesn't have to prove through the courts that it is causing them harm.
That's absolutely right. We're making it a lot easier for the victim in this circumstance, and the perpetrators of these sex crimes will be held accountable.
Are there any other protections or things that need to be added to this bill to future-proof it?
One of the other aspects about the bill was that it does create victims. And so we had submissions from victims, from women who had experienced the harm caused, wanting access to ACC. And ACC is a very interesting public entity because the only way victims of image-based sexual abuse can be included is if they were part of the Crimes Act. And within the context of the Crimes Act, all sex abuse victims, by virtue of them then becoming part of a schedule, qualify for ACC support. And because this is an amendment to the Harmful Digital Communications Bill and not an addition to the Crimes Act, victims under this bill do not qualify for access to ACC counselling and support. And it's an unfortunate situation, but there's nothing I can do about it. And I did go to the clerk about this issue, but because that would involve an amendment to another piece of legislation, and therefore it would become what they call an omnibus bill, I would have had to have included that in the initial drafting. It's not something that I can amend now because it's not part of the purpose as I outlined in my bill about why I was proposing this legislative reform in the first place. Now, you did ask me what isn't captured, and what isn't captured is artificial intelligence and deepfakes, which for me is hugely alarming when you consider that 97% of deepfakes are about pornography. So do you know what a deepfake is?
That's when someone uses like AI technology to pretend to be someone else with the,
that's correct.
That's the thing, yeah.
Yeah. And what they've found is that deepfakes are just as harmful to the victim as if it was them in an actual video recording. Mm-hmm. And currently that's not covered because of the definition of what is a recording in the Principal Act.
So in saying that with a deepfake, is that the next step for the bill?
Oh, that's a really, really interesting question. Because in fact, the bill has gone through a select committee process. And even though 25 submitters highlighted the fact that artificial intelligence deepfakes was an issue and that we should future-proof the legislation, the select committee did not recommend changes to the bill to address the fact that deepfakes are just as harmful.
When I was looking at the Act, and I was looking at some NetSafe when I was doing some research about it, about the Act, some incidents are kind of covered by the Act and some aren't. Can you give examples of what things are covered and what things aren't?
Were you looking at some NetSafe?
Yeah,
looking at some NetSafe.
I'm a little bit embarrassed by this, but I think I mean I was looking at some research that NetSafe had done, not some NetSafe, because that would be the same as saying something like some Facebook.
Yeah. What is NetSafe?
NetSafe is an independent non-for-profit online kind of safety organisation for everything kind of on the net or for technology.
So why don't we put your NetSafe question to Martin Cocker, the CEO?
Yeah, the Act actually has a very broad set of communications principles which capture image-based sexual abuse. So at the first pass, whenever somebody does undertake this activity, it does fall within the remit of the Act. The issue with prosecuting it or taking action against it really comes down to kind of some of the specific language in the Act about the finer details of the thresholds and proving the intent of the offender. So the reason that there's an amendment before the Parliament at the moment is because a criteria was set in the original criminal provision in the bill which said that the person who posted it had to intend to cause harm, and it can be very difficult to prove that somebody intended to cause harm. And people often say they posted those images for some other purpose rather than the intent to cause harm, and that then undermines the ability to prosecute. So that was the sort of foundation for the change. The actual act of posting someone's intimate images or video onto the internet clearly falls within the remit of the Act, but it just gets difficult to prosecute it because of kind of some of these specific provisions.
So basically what this bill is doing is kind of lowering the threshold so that you don't have to prove that the person was trying to cause harm.
Yeah, yeah. Like whenever we say lower the thresholds, lawyers and around the country will get nervous. But what we're doing, or what would happen as a result of this, is that there would no longer be the need to prove that somebody intended to cause harm. But basically, what we're doing is we're saying if you post intimate images of somebody else or intimate video of somebody else, you know that it causes harm. We don't have to prove that you would have been intending to cause harm. You know it's going to cause harm, and so therefore we can remove the need to prove that intent and then just focus on the actual actions that people have taken.
How many incident reports have you received in the past year?
We receive around about 400, 450 harmful digital communications reports each month. And then about 20% of those involve some form of image-based sexual abuse. So, you know, we're looking at now sort of 75, 80 image-based sexual abuse reports a month at NetSafe.
Obviously, we know that our young people, they're going to be using the internet. They're going to be on the apps. They might be sending intimate images to each other. What kind of advice are you giving to young people to stay safe?
I mean, it's a tough balance on that because, obviously, if people don't produce images, I mean, as deepfakes come along, this particular piece of advice is going to age pretty quickly. But if people don't produce the images, then they don't risk somebody sharing those images. And so it's easy to say to people, just don't do it. But the reality is if people are consenting to it, then they're consenting to it. I mean, if people want to do that, they have every right to share those images with somebody. And the focus really needs to be on the person who is in receipt of them and in possession of them. If you are in possession of somebody else's intimate images and they consent to that, then great. If they don't consent to it, then there's a problem. And if you're sharing them and the person didn't consent to them being shared, which, you know, 99% of the time is the case, then you're an offender under the Act. And so the focus always has to be on the person who possesses the other person's intimate images. And I just don't think that a message of abstinence from sexting or sharing those images is really useful or sensible in this age.
So the great thing about doing this podcast with a political journalism nerd like you, Jen, is that you'll jump on the Parliament website and find a bill and look through the list of the people that made submissions on the bill.
I also make submissions myself.
Oh,
sometimes.
My goodness, do you? What was the last bill you made a submission on?
The conversion therapy bill. I made a submission on that one, you know.
So, Jen, you were looking through the list of people and organisations that have made submissions about this amendment bill to the Harmful Digital Communication Act.
One that was really good was the Aotearoa Sex Workers Collective, who we had a chat to. I say we, was really you, Sam. Had a chat to them about kind of their submission about it.
My name is Sherida Fraser and I am Community Liaison at NZPC, the Aotearoa New Zealand Sex Workers Collective. So we're a rights-based organisation. We're a peer-based organisation, so we're made up of past and present sex workers. We're established in 1986 and provide information and support to uphold the rights and safety and well-being and health of sex workers in Aotearoa. Well, we made a submission because harmful digital communication has occurred recently with our community. It occurs in various ways in that sex workers can be outed online and sex workers can have their faces outed online, and sex workers very stigmatised still. And so this is really problematic for them in their lives, and having some permanent record of sex work can impact sex workers' ability to find other jobs if they want to move out of sex work employment or occupation. We wanted to support that as well. Because some people put sexually explicit images up in order to get more work, you know, all the sex work advertising are often sexually explicit photographs and videos on sex work platforms. And what we know is that sex workers stay in sex work generally for about 2 to 4 years and then they move on to other work. And what we also know is that people are more likely to do sex work when they're younger, and we don't want the stigma of sex work to hang around for a long time in someone's life when they've moved on to other work. It's really pertinent as well because lots of workers are going online, particularly in this post, you know, we're still in the pandemic, but since we first went into lockdown and sex workers were unable to see clients in real life, they're doing a lot more remote working, and so there's a lot more images that have been shared around. People need to have as much control as they can, and I think we need to acknowledge that, you know, once you send something, you can't really control it. But if somebody shares it on, you know, it's not theirs to share necessarily unless there's been an explicit consent.
The Sex Workers Collective actually weren't the only people concerned about this bill. When it went through its first reading in Parliament, politicians who were also parents had some concerns about it. Let's hear from them, and also a principal and some other parents and kids. The Harmful Digital Communications Act is something that plays on most technology users' minds, or maybe not, as we found out. However, discourse around this topic often concerns parents, as was told in the first reading of the bill in Parliament.
When I look at this bill, there's two lenses through which I view it. The first is as a mum, and a mum of teenagers. And the fact is, Mr. Speaker, that the world has moved on somewhat from when we were young. And the unfortunate fact is sexting and the solicitation of intimate pictures and recordings is very, very widespread, even among children as young as 12 and 13.
Well, the last member I actually want to speak as a member of parliament, a local member of parliament, and also as a dad. Unfortunately, with very young children, this is not an issue for its time. But I can say in my electorate, at intermediates, at high schools, I know this is an issue because I've been told by the leadership of those schools. Images and recordings of young people, and like the last member said, really young, talking 12-year-olds.
And even if you're not a parent like Jenny Anderson or Simon Bridges, so you can probably still relate to the issue. Willow Jean Prime told us how many New Zealanders it actually affects.
I was startled by the information that according to NetSafe, 6% of New Zealanders, that number, 300,000 people, have had intimate images or recordings shared without their consent.
But do our parents have anything to worry about?
What do you know about the Harmful Digital Communications Act?
Nothing.
No, not specifically. I kind of vaguely know of the area, but didn't realise there was an act or anything.
And would you be comfortable with your parents knowing what you were doing online or on social media apps?
Not on most of them, no.
No? And would you explain why?
Just because, like, I kind of keep that side of my life as kind of my own thing. Like, there's certain things I'd say or post on social media that my parents wouldn't necessarily understand, you know?
I just think it's about the relationship that you build with your child. If you've got a good open relationship with them, you can discuss it with them, they can discuss anything with you, but I don't actually want to spy on what they do online.
Between May 2020 and April 2021, 44.4% of reports received by NetSafe were by people under 21. Principal Phil Hollestein talks about how he's faced this issue in his teaching experience.
I think the whole aspect of bullying and harassment has been brought to a new level, if you like. You know, the face-to-face bullying and as it used to be and now is in behind a screen, and the safety of that is something that sadly comes into our schools.
And as things change, what impact can these harmful digital communications have on young people?
I have had students who are quite a lot younger have come in and have experienced this kind of thing, being held to ransom with photos. And things like that, have sex with me or I'm going to show everyone, that kind of thing. So it can be not just distribution, it's the actual, you know, blackmailing for, you know, things to go further than this person wanted to.
And with such a huge impact, we can understand why the Harmful Digital Communications Act is something worth knowing about.
When you were putting your package together, Jen, you made the comment to me that you were surprised that very few people that you spoke to on the street actually knew what the Harmful Digital Communication Act was.
Yeah, that was the first question I asked a lot of them, and
no one really knew what it was, which is concerning considering it's quite a new piece of legislation.
Next week, we're not so much looking at a bill or a law that's currently going through Parliament or is, you know, just recently been passed. We're hearing from Māori politicians and just their experience and what it's like being in government.
This year, there's been a few ruffle-ups in Parliament with the Te Pāti Māori challenging some of the rules. And it's been quite interesting to watch. I don't know if anyone's seen it on TikTok, but I quite enjoy some of the videos that Debbie Nārewa Packer makes.
Yeah.
Quite good content.
So we're in the process of chasing up Debbie and also her co-leader of Te Pāti Māori, Rawiri Waititi.
But that's not all who we have.
It's not all. We've spoken to everyone's favourite What Now host, Tamati Coffee.
We do have his mobile number now, so win some, you lose some.
First person to call in, we will give you Tamati Coffee's cell phone number. No, we won't, but you know.
Because you can't call into a podcast.
It's a very safe competition.
A product of the New Zealand Broadcasting School at Ara Institute of Canterbury.